Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm Belinda Ellsworth, and I am really excited about our guest today. I have Dr. Clark Gaither, who is a board-certified family physician, fellow of the American Academy of Family Physicians, and serves as the current medical director of the North Carolina Physicians Health Program, NCPHP. He is author of four books, his latest on job-related burnout, entitled Reignite. He is an accomplished blogger, keynote speaker, corporate consultant, and personal life coach. In 2002, he was named Family Physician of the Year by the North Carolina Academy of Family Physicians, and in December of 2016, he received his home state's highest honor for community service, North Carolina's Order of the Longleaf Pine. An expert in the identification, mitigation, alleviation, elimination, and prevention of professional job-related burnout, he is also known as Dr. Burnout. Please help me welcome our guest, Clark Gaither.
Well, hi, Belinda. Thanks so much for that introduction, and thanks for having me on your show.
Oh, well, it's my pleasure. So, Dr. Gaither, I'll make sure I get that correct. Why don't you just fill us in a little bit on this bio, like fill in some of the gaps for us and tell us about this journey of where you were and what led you where you are today?
Well, in 2009, I was practicing family medicine in Goldsboro, North Carolina. And one day I went to my practice partner and I told him that unless something changed, I was going to have to leave the practice of medicine. I was feeling that bad about what I was doing. I'd become detached from my patients and overly cynical and negative. I was exhausted all of the time. Even when I had a weekend off, I really didn't feel rested. And in fact, by either Friday evening or Saturday morning, I was already dreading going back to work on Monday. And I didn't feel like I was accomplishing much in what I was doing. And of course I was, but that's not how I felt. And so I was once, you know, on fire for medicine, fresh out of residency. I was energetic. I was hopeful for the future. And then within just 17 years, it was all kind of upside down. And I wasn't enjoying what I was doing anymore. And so that kind of led me on a journey to discover what happened and what I was going to do about it. It didn't take me long to figure out I was burned out. I'd hit all three of the principal hallmarks of burnout. And I made some changes. I really didn't know what I was doing, but I made some changes to in an attempt to make myself feel better. Part of that was going, taking more time off, getting off a bunch of boards I was on that I really didn't care about. And I stayed on the one or two I did care about. I started exercising more and reading more outside of medicine and taking hikes in the woods. And within weeks, I felt better. I felt immensely better. And I thought, wow, this is great. And I began to wonder if any of my colleagues were suffering like I was. And it didn't take but a few minutes on the internet to figure out that job-related burnout is a big, huge problem in medicine as well as many other careers. And it's not only bad, the rates are not only high, but they're getting worse. And so I began reading all I could on the subject. I began eventually doing talks. Then I began coaching other physicians who were transitioning or going through burnout. And doing some corporate consulting, and eventually that led to the book, Reignite, which just launched this March 20th.
Oh, how exciting.
Yeah, it was an unexpected journey, but you know, we're all on this journey to an unknown destination and an uncertain time of arrival, and sometimes we surprise ourselves by where we end up. But it was one of the most challenging times in my life, but I've learned that it's through those challenges, those obstacles, those moments of adversity that we really push, if we choose, push beyond what we know and how we felt at the time and perhaps our comfort zone. And we learn a new skill or way of doing things or a new way to service others. And so it's all good.
It is. So you mentioned that these three benchmarks of burnout, and you discovered that you had those, all three of those. Do you want to share what those are for our listeners? I'm sure they would be as intrigued as I was when you said that.
Absolutely. These three hallmarks were discovered or really studied in depth by Christina Maslach back in the 80s. She was a PhD level psychologist who designed some studies to look at this issue. And the three hallmarks or principal symptoms of burnout are emotional exhaustion, and that's where you come to feel as though you have nothing left to give. You can no longer connect with someone on an emotional or psychological level. You're spent. You've left it all out there. I hear this all the time. I have nothing left to give. So people just feel like their soul is tired. They're just emotionally spent. The second hallmark is depersonalization, and that's a fancy word for you become cynical and detached from either your client, your customer, or your patient. You lose that connection, that sense of why you got into that line of work in the first place, and you no longer feel connected to either the people you serve or the people you work with. And the last hallmark is a lack of a sense of personal accomplishment. And that's where you come to feel like what you're doing is just isn't making a difference anymore. And you no longer derive that sense of personal satisfaction from what you do. And those three, men and women go through them a little differently. Women usually go through them in order. They get emotionally exhausted, then they get cynical and detached, and then they hit that lack of a sense of personal accomplishment. Men usually start with number two. They get cynical first, then they get emotionally exhausted. But the majority of men never hit number three. They always feel like what they do has some meaning, so they never really fully hit that third hallmark of a lack of sense of personal accomplishment. But what that means in real terms is by the time they hit the first one or the second one, they're already 50% burned out.
Right. I can see that. And I mean, I can relate to those. I have felt those things. I was sitting here thinking, I'm analyzing myself very quickly, self-analyzing, and I certainly have felt the first one and had to do adjustments. I certainly have felt the second one, but I can honestly say I probably have not ever fully gotten to the third, which is probably what's helped me go back and readjust some of the things to help me not feel the first two. So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, none of this is permanent. It can be, you can float in and out of burnout depending on your situation and your work environment or what kind of job you take and the reasons why and so forth and so on. You know, is it a temporary position? You know, you're not going to be there, forever, and it's not necessarily something you enjoy doing. But most people can identify with one or more of those symptoms at some point, either in their past work history or their current work history. But it's not permanent. It can be mitigated, alleviated, eliminated, and prevented.
So tell us now about your business today, then, and how it has shaped your lifestyle.
Well, I have two careers at this point. I gave up one career for two, oddly enough, but I feel like where I'm supposed to be at this point or this season in my life. One career, I work for the North Carolina Physicians Health Program, and we basically help physicians who've gotten in trouble with drugs, alcohol, mental health issues, bad behavior in the workplace, you name it, we've seen it. And we try to get physicians the help that they need, get them rehabilitated, get them treated if they need it, and get them back to doing what they do best, which is taking care of patients. Oddly enough, or not oddly enough, but fortuitously enough, my skills in the area of job-related burnout fit perfectly with this role, because a lot of the providers we see, and they're not just physicians, they're PAs also, and we also see pharmacists, pharmacy techs, veterinarians, and vet techs. All these different individuals who come in, at least a third of them, whatever their underlying behavior is or problem is, at least a third of them can be directly tied to job-related burnout, and another third indirectly tied to job-related burnout. So my skills in that area fit this role perfectly. So my other career is within the arena of professional job-related burnout. I do extensive speaking on this topic. I do some consulting work for large employers. And, of course, I'm an author now with the book Reignite, and I also have a companion workbook that goes with that. And I do some personal coaching. So my life is busy, but it's exactly where I feel like I need to be at this season of my life anyway.
So I just have to ask you, it's not on our question, but I'm sure many people out there are feeling this way, and maybe you can even attest to your own situation. So you're going along, you're a physician, you've gotten many of these awards, and, you know, so you're in it. Like, you're in it 17 years. It's not like I tried it out for a couple of years and it wasn't my thing. And so you're probably making a really good income, and you've hit this wall, and now you've got to figure out how to transition, which for a lot of people, they just get paralyzed in that. And, well, this is what I got to do, and this is how I earn my money. And they stay in that burnout of really unsatisfaction. But then you have to, like, there's risk involved. I'm sure that was scary. I'm sure there's a lot of things to make a big major decision of shifting from one path to another path. Do you want to share a little bit about that?
Absolutely. And the word you use there, paralyzed, is a perfect word to describe the burned out mindset. People actually get in a mindset where they would rather stay and face what's most uncomfortable because the fear of change in their own mind seems more uncomfortable. So they get into what's been termed as a comfortable misery. And you can put your head down and just grind away at a job you detest for years and even make it to retirement. But the risk is, number one, you ruin your health because it is immensely unhealthy to dwell in burnout. And you end up bitter and angry and resentful because you come to realize that life has not given you what you felt you deserved or what you worked for. And so, but people get in this burned out mindset and they will place obstacles in their own path by saying things like, it's too late for me. Mm-hmm. I have too much time invested in this company. I don't have the right skills. It's not the right time. I won't make as much money. And they keep self-placing these obstacles in their own path, and none of it is true. It's interesting. Everybody thinks that what they're currently doing is the security blanket, mm-hmm. but I've seen businesses, large ones, huge ones, come and go overnight, and people get laid off, they lose their jobs, and so there really is no security except that which we make for ourselves. And so getting back to what to do, only about 10% of the time does the individual burn themselves out. The other 90% of the time, it's the work environment that burns out the individual. And there are six underlying causes for that. Major mismatches between the employee and the job they're being asked to do that set people up for burnout. And just briefly, those are work overload, lack of control, insufficient reward, breakdown of community, absence of fairness, and conflicting values. And wherever those six mismatches are being negatively impacted, you can burn people out. And I don't care what type person they are. They can be an on-fire, passionate, purpose-driven person, and you put them in a toxic work environment, you will eventually burn them out. And people will burn out at different rates because they have different amounts of what we call hardiness or resilience. But you will eventually burn them out if the work environment is toxic enough. So if you find yourself in one of those environments where you cannot change your workplace, you can't make suggestions, you can't make change in order to make it more conducive to engagement and less conducive to burnout, then you have a decision to make. And yes, it seems scary, but how many listening are entrepreneurs now because they became burned out at something that they did prior to becoming an entrepreneur? I mean, it happens so often. I hear people all the time say, I just got fed up with what I was doing and having to deal with, so I started my own business. And so that's the challenge that we face sometimes. We have to make a decision. Do I stay where it's very uncomfortable and I'm not using my talents and abilities to the my own natural set of talents and abilities to the best that I can because of my work situation? So I can't be the best that I can be. Or do I do an about face or a lateral move and change and try something different? And that's the challenge that people are often faced with. But you know, if it gets uncomfortable enough, people will change.
Absolutely. So is all of this laid out in your book, all those six things that you mentioned, is everything in there laid out? I'm guessing it is.
Those six underlying causes yep. are laid out in detail, and I also talk about the difference between stress and burnout. The two are completely different, and if you treat burnout as if it were stress, you really haven't treated burnout at all. And so it's important to know the difference.
I think this is a book that everyone should be reading because every person, I don't care who they are, sort of hits at least some of these, you know, like in, and they have to reevaluate even maybe what they're doing at the workplace. It might be time to say, you know, I think I'd be best suited in a different position or whatever the case may be. But yeah. I love it. I know personally I'm going to get it because I think this is something that people deal with all the time in this fear of, you said it, you nailed it. Like, well, by the time I do that, I'll be this age. Well, you'll be that age regardless and still miserable. Like, people have all these self-inflicted excuses of why they can't make their life different. And they are paralyzed. That's what I see all the time. Yeah.
And it's funny because if your education and your experience and your depth of knowledge and all those things got you to where you are, don't let them hold you where you are. Because if they got you to that level, you don't want to get in a situation where they're holding you at that level. You might have to stretch. You might have to bend and change a little bit. You might have to learn a new skill. So what? You did all those things before to get you where you are. So if you find out you're not where you want to be, take a look around and see, okay, what is it I want and how am I going to get it? How am I going to get there? And so, yeah, it might mean taking a different job within a career, the same career, or it might mean switching careers altogether.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's kind of the spice and excitement of life, is that we're not locked in to one path. You know, we can take a different journey. We can take a road less traveled, if you will. So don't get so complacent that you feel like, oh, this is it. This is just the way it is and the way it's going to be. No, you can absolutely change and do something different. Whatever you want to do, you just have to decide you're going to do it.
Right. So talk to us about a couple of your greatest skill sets. What do you think that, what do you have identified as maybe a couple of good skill sets that have sort of helped you along this journey?
Well, I'm curious. That's one of my core values, curiosity, exploration, freedom. I always go back to those. I do like speaking. I speak quite a bit, and so I'm very comfortable on the stage. And when I see the audience moving with me, there's just no better feeling in the world when you know you're reaching people and they're enjoying your message and you feel like at the end of it you've helped somebody. That to me is just if I could bottle that, I would drink it every day. And I do feel like I write reasonably well. I write quite a bit. I blog, and this book, Reignite, is actually my fourth book, so I'm going to continue writing. So I think those are probably two of my best skill sets.
Well, thank you. And I have to agree with you 100% because that is still, like, I've been a speaker for 25 years and I love speaking, and I'm with you 100%. There is nothing like that when you know you've connected with an audience and you walk off that stage and it's exciting, it's exhilarating, and it because I don't know. It's like because of the demand of people wanting me to consult with them and do some different things. And I thought, oh, I shouldn't probably be on the road as much. I had people telling me, you probably shouldn't be on the road as much. And the truth of it is I wasn't burned out from being on the road as much. I started doing all of this other stuff, more of it. And I just realized recently, you know what piece of this I still love is the speaking. And so I need to find my way back to what I was in love with and have stayed in love with the whole entire time. But it morphed into things that I thought was the natural path, or I should be doing, or this is something to add to my plate. Because like you said, I was on all these boards. It's like people ask you, and at first it's an honor to be asked to share in this or participate in this. And then pretty soon that eats up more of your time and you take away from the thing that you love. And that's where I'm at. And listening to you, I know that's where I'm at.
Well, you know, we all get that, you know, 168 hours a week. And when you say yes to one thing, you are saying no to something else, because you're going to give up that little slice of time to do what you're saying yes to. So when you say yes to one thing, you're saying no to something else. The challenge is sorting through our yeses and nos and really saying yes to what it is we really want to do and no to what doesn't, you know, tickle our fancy or that we don't get satisfaction from or is not in the service of others like we want it to be. We should say no more often. And so, you know, at least once a month, once a quarter, I challenge everybody to sit down and say, okay, what am I going to give up? Not what am I going to get, but what am I going to give up? What's no longer serving me or the people I serve? And if there's some items on the list, let them go. Just let them go. Because once you free up those time slots, those increments of time, then you can let fall in those things that give you personal satisfaction while at the same time serving your audience.
That's fantastic. So share with us then something that you have accomplished that's super meaningful for you.
I would say about 18 years ago, I started a free clinic in my county, Wayne County in North Carolina. It didn't have a free clinic. It had health department, but even the health department charged on a sliding scale. And I thought the medical community could support a free clinic. So I went to the hospital CEO and asked him, was there anyone that could help me write a grant proposal for a startup operation, a free clinic? And he steered me toward the hospital's grant writer, and she and I formulated a plan to come up with a free clinic where the care would be free, the labs would be free, and we would try to procure the medications for free for people who did not have insurance or did not qualify for services like Medicare, Medicaid, and you know, so forth. So we did, and we put together, we got a Duke Endowment grant to start a free clinic, and we bought a mobile unit. Our county is kind of large and spread out, so it went to 19 different places every month. And over the years, that spun off a satellite clinic at the Family Y, and then a third clinic at behind the hospital, and a group of mobile facilities behind the hospital. And it's been running for 18 years. We thought we'd be in operation for 4 or 5 months or a couple of years at most, and we've been operating for 18 years. We get our money from grants and donations and a yearly golf clinic. The three clinics see 1,000 people a month. All the care is free, all the labs are free, and many of the medications are free. And over the last 18 years, we've logged something like 160,000 patient visits, and we've seen one out of every five people in my county. So that is probably what I'm most proud of.
Oh, that is fantastic. And one of our questions is greatest challenge, but I have the other couple I want to get to. And I think you've definitely laid that out so well about being burned out after 17 years and the direction that you took and the changes that you made and overcoming that. So I'm going to skip that question just for the sake of getting to the next one, the next two, actually, which I find important. But what does working from your happy place mean to you?
Well, I touched on that a moment ago. talking about speaking, that's definitely a happy place for me. If I'm on stage speaking, or if I feel like I'm writing and I'm in that flow, and that's the flow. Some people describe flow as when you're really maximizing your potential and you're utilizing all your natural set of talents and abilities in a way that's personally satisfying and you know will serve, you know, other people, whoever you serve, and in whatever way. So when I'm writing and the words are just flowing, or when I'm on a stage and really feel it, there's just no better feeling. So that's definitely my happy place. Professionally, personally, there are so many things I like. I've got too many interests, and that gets back to what I was saying earlier. You have to limit what you want to do well. But I do woodworking. I do some art. I do wood and metal sculpture. I hike. I immensely love hiking. And at least once a year, I go someplace by myself and hike for a week, 5 days to a week. And just having that opportunity to unplug and shove aside the noise really gives you an opportunity to focus and figure out, okay, am I where I want to be right now? And if I'm not, where do I want to be? And how do I get there? And sometimes you just have to unplug. I go places where there's no cell phone service and there's no computer and no internet, no TV and no radio. And people say I'd lose my mind. And I say to them, no, you will find your sanity when you,
right.
when you unplug and go someplace by yourself. That's not selfish. That's self-interest. And there's a difference. But to take at least 2 days to 5 days or seven a year and go someplace by yourself, unplug, and really reconnect with yourself and maybe nature, you know, go for some hikes and out in nature, because it will change your worldview. You will come back a changed person. I guarantee it. So that lights me up. I really like hiking. I enjoy running. I run 3 times a week. I get a lot of physical satisfaction from doing that. So I can get jazzed over almost anything I'm interested in, quite frankly.
Well, that is awesome. So what advice would you give to others? Now, I asked this, it's one of the last questions I asked to everybody, and everybody gives lots of good advice, but I think you're going to own this space right here. I'm really confident of it, but
I'm going to do my best.
All right.
A moment ago, I mentioned how a lot of people end up being entrepreneurs because they got burned out doing what they were doing prior to that, and they had to change, and so they decided, you know, I'm going to take the plunge, and maybe they had a side business, and they ramped it up, and they said, I'm going to become an entrepreneur. So a lot of entrepreneurs get their start because they got burned out. Sad to say, a lot of entrepreneurs burn themselves out being an entrepreneur and end up one day giving up on their dream and just walking away and going back to something else, or maybe something they did before. And the reason is because they burned themselves out. And I also mentioned earlier that 10% of the time people burn themselves out, 90% of the time it's the work environment. With entrepreneurs, it's usually workaholism. You know, the joke is an entrepreneur is someone who's willing to trade a 40-hour work week for an 80-hour work week, right?
Yes.
So entrepreneurs jump in with lots of energy and lots of focus and clarity, and they work. Unfortunately, that leads to a life out of balance. You cannot just be all about work. You have to nourish those other realms in your life, your physical realm, your emotional realm, making sure your emotional needs are being met, and your spiritual realm, which doesn't necessarily mean religion. It can mean religion. It can also mean meditation, which is quiet reflection, or hiking in nature, or working on a worldview or a philosophy on life and living. All of those are spiritual pursuits, but too many of us get combed down into just work. We want to be successful at work, but sometimes being the best we can be at work means we have to be the best we can be all around, which means nourishing those other realms and not letting them go without some attention. So that's my cautionary tale to entrepreneurs, is don't just be all about work. You have to live a well-balanced, rounded life. And believe me, that will spill over into your work arena and it will make you a better entrepreneur.
That is great. So in closing, what are some exciting things that you're working on and how can our listeners find you? How can they find your book? How can they find some of your blogs? Because I know our listeners are going to be seeking out your information. I'm really confident on that.
Well, I'm doing more consulting, which is very enjoyable, and I'm looking forward to getting on bigger stages this next year in terms of speaking. I've spoken across my state and some of the surrounding states, but I want to take this message to bigger audiences across the country and maybe some international consulting and speaking. That would really thrill me to be able to do that. So that's part of my next 3-year and 5-year goals. We'll be doing some of that. You can find me at clarkgaither.com. It's real easy. That's my personal website, and it has my blog there. There's also some free tools you can download, especially if you're a healthcare provider. Reignitebook.com. That's the landing page for the book I just launched, Reignite. There's also free tools there for any professional. It doesn't matter what your work is. And if, by the way, if you're an accomplished electrician, you're a professional electrician, okay? So, and electricians burn out just like social workers, teachers, firefighters, police officers, lawyers, financial analysts. Burnout rates are screaming high in all of those careers. And so there are some tools there that you can download that will help you. And they're all free. None of them, there's no cost for any of those. And one of them, by the way, is a core values inventory. If you've never done a core values inventory to know exactly what your top 5 core values are, then I challenge you to go there, download it, complete it. You will end up with your top 5 core values and your number 1 core value. And the reason that's important is because if you make decisions which honor your core values, they're likely to be great decisions. If you make decisions that dishonor your core values, more than likely the outcome is not going to be good. So you can get that at reignitebook.com.
Perfect. And where do you find that core values at again?
At reignitebook.com.
Oh, okay. Perfect. I just wanted to confirm that. All right. Well, Dr. Gaither, I appreciate so much your time today, your insights, expertise, and I appreciate, for one, that you've been on this journey so that you can help others transition through it themselves.
Well, I appreciate this opportunity, and I look forward to what comes next.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends, and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.